Sahanavavatu, sahanabhunaktu, sahavirayankaravavahai, rejasvinavaditamastamavidvishavahai, Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shrivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Page 137. Sukadev Goswami continued. In the beginning, the second and third cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam, I have already described how one can progress on the path of liberation. In the Puranas, the vast universal existence, which is like an egg divided into 14 parts, is described. This vast form is considered the external body of the Lord, created by His energy and qualities. It is generally called the Virat Rup. If one reads the description of this external form of the Lord with great faith, or if one hears about it or explains it to others to propagate Bhagavad Dharma or Krishna consciousness, his faith and devotion in spiritual consciousness, Krishna consciousness, will gradually increase. Although developing this consciousness is very difficult, by this process, one can purify himself and gradually come to an awareness of supreme absolute truth. Right. So, all these have been describing that particular part, you know, the Puranas are describing the universe and what it's for, what it's about, people within it, what they do, right? But it's always, that's the thing about the Puranas, it's always describing people and what people are doing and the consciousness of these people. So that's what's so important about it. Not that the others aren't describing it, but we get distracted either by just the technicality and the obscure way things are explained in the Upanishads. Right? You know, like, he is that, or you are that, or, you know, this kind of thing. Or you get distracted by, you know, Ayurveda, Jyotirveda, Nyaya, the grammar and things like that. So you don't actually see what they're talking about, the Lord is there. But the Puranas are specifically describing people and what they're doing, right? And how they're becoming Krishna conscious. At least that's the essential. The Bhagavat does that. The Vaisnavic Purans will also, but the Bhagavatam will be more these focused on pure devotional service. So it's going to describe all what everybody else has, and it will take it beyond. Right, because we're coming up to the Braj pastimes. So that's the uniqueness of the Bhagavatam. So, if one understands the technicalities, how the universe is Krishna, because Krishna is expanded to take care of the living entities, but he himself, personally, is not involved. Right? It means he's involved that the living entities come back to him, and everything's according to his desire. But his energies take care. Because the energies are taken care of because we're trying to exploit these energies. So then this form of the Lord, though it's the Lord, it's at the same time different from the Lord. Right? And so if one understands this, one gets purified and then one is able to come to Krishna consciousness, because then one can see everything in connection to the Lord. That's the whole point that Sukadev Goswami is explaining. Right, so we've seen is how the world is. By your activities, you situate yourself within the universe. Now if you use pious activities, you go up. You use impious, you go down. Now if you use those pious to please Krishna, then you get out of the material world. Right? Does that make sense? So that's then what's trying to see here. So that's the point of the universal form. But it says, it is difficult. You know, it is very difficult. But by this process, you can purify yourself and gradually come into the awareness. Now, if you can become aware and absorbed in Krishna directly, his name, form, qualities, and pastime, that's even better. But the difficulty is what holds us back, our connection to the material world. So the Purana then takes that approach, taking what we're attached to in the material world and connecting that to Krishna, showing the different angles of vision. Right, so that's just so special. That's why the Purana is more important, right, than the other literatures. Okay. Yes. They'll all speak, but what degree they get into it? Most of the others, they keep it quite simple, from what I've seen. They'll bring out one other technical point, but they won't have all the technical points there. Yeah, Bhagavatam seems to be the most technical. Like that. But basically all the Puranas describe all the same kind of pastimes, just different angles for different, how you say, individuals, different consciousness. So at least the Sattvic Puranas will all be about Vishnu. But for those who are in the mode of passion, then the six about Brahma and his creation and his position. It's not that it'll say Vishnu is not supreme, it'll just emphasize Brahma. So then naturally people will make that mistake. Right? Then you're going to have the Tamasic, it'll emphasize Shiva and his part, because they're all part. But from that emphasis, then you'll think Shiva's supreme. It never says he's supreme. It's just that you'll just take it that way. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's the...
Right, first times, are they found anywhere else?
Yes, no, they do, but it's just which aspects, whether they're Vrindavan pastimes will be found otherwhere, but whether they're Braj pastimes, that's another thing. See, generally, in one sense, we don't have to make a distinction, but in another sense, then one might. Like, I don't know, when was that? It was quite a while ago. There was kind of a time, either late 90s or early noughts, that... it was popular, this Tulsi and Shaligram and you know, Vrinda and cursing and this whole thing like that. You know, it went on for a little time and then it kind of disappeared. Right? That's from Brahma Vivarta. So that would be a one in passion. So the thing, but then from that, oh, how could they get angry? How could they curse? So then why read it? You know? Read it, you know, no, we have to read it to expand our Krishna consciousness. Okay, read it. Then, oh, but why are they doing white? Then don't read it. You know? Yeah, so then that's the thing. So then it just kind of disappears. There was also a time when the whole Ekadasi thing got really big and getting out the Ekadasi Mahatmya and getting into this and that and doing all, and then it just disappears. Because it gets too much into the secondary. Right? So then just Krishna sidelines it. Anything that gets into the secondary, Krishna will sideline it. Like even now, all the stuff we complain about, the communities or management or this or that, whatever it is, the devotees get distracted, it will go to the side because the movement is the movement. And we're individuals that get to take part. We take it seriously, we move along with it. We don't, then, you know, there's plenty of small cities out in the country all over the world that we can go to. Right? You know, does that make sense? So that's the whole point, is it will go on. Now the question is just whether we take part in it or someone else does it. That's all. Right? So that's the whole idea. So when we get too distracted by the secondary, then these things come up. Right? Because otherwise, why would you talk about that side of it? We see when the Acharyas talk about Radha and Krishna, and there might be an argument or something like that, it's so nice and so inspiring. But then that angle is talked about in Brahma Vivarta just creates doubts. So that's the point. Why read it? You know? If you can read it and maintain the vision that the Acharyas give us, fine. You can read how much you like. But if you can't, then better don't read. That's the rule. You can only approach the previous Acharyas through your own Acharya. So if you can't reconcile it with what Prabhupada says, you shouldn't be reading it. So if by reading it, oh, this, but maybe Prabhupada that, you should not have read that book. Right? Because the Acharyas don't contradict each other, the scriptures don't contradict each other, like that. And Krishna doesn't contradict himself. Nobody does. Only we do, due to the modes of nature. Right? Because in pure goodness, these seeming... opposites are perfectly reconciled in Krishna and his pastimes and love with the devotees. In the material world, due to ignorance, then we don't see that something's not logical, so we can reconcile it. You know, so then we get in the mode of we get in between. right? We can't see it from that platform of Krishna and the affection of the devotees, and we're not enough in ignorance, so we're kind of stuck in the middle, right? So, does that make sense? So that's why it says that the recommendation, don't read too much. What's too much? How much more than what you can digest? Just like this, the earlier class was how much money to have, how much you can use without getting proud. As soon as you get proud, that's too much. You know, same like overeating. What's overeating? Prabhupada says if one chapati you can't digest, one chapati is overeating. But if you can digest 10, 10's not overeating. So it's very individual. Yes. As long as that's going on, then it's okay. But if you find that the pride overwhelms the checking, then, you know, in other words, if the pride becomes the identity, then it's a problem. But if the pride just comes up because it does, and then goes away, like we see the prayer of Jamunacharya, you know. So here's a Uttamadhikari, but the mind, just because it's here in the material world, been doing material things, it brings up stuff. Hey, you used to think this was cool. And then you just say no. Is that what it says? So as long as that's going on, that's okay. But if it becomes our identity and we forget, then it's too much. But because we forgot, we won't know it's too much, so then what can you do about it? Other people will tell you it's too much, but then you get grumpy because you identify with it and you think it's fine. So then that's the real problem. That's why association of devotees, then we're able to see it as it comes, right? We can analyze in that. So if we're always hearing, chanting, contemplating, then we'll be able to catch these things, you know. But they take time. That we shouldn't, in other words, we're trying to do things as quick as possible, but we're not in anxiety that it's taking so long. And if we are, then we'll enjoy the anxiety. That's all. You know? At least we get that benefit.
The minds of whatever planets we are.
Sorry?
The minds of the planets.
Yeah, so because of that attachment or that over-absorption, then it'll always give trouble. That's the thing with material. You deal with it, it'll give you trouble. You look at it, it looks nice, but as soon as you deal with it, it gives you trouble. So if you just look at it, that's okay. But as soon as you get a desire for it or an attachment, it gives you trouble. So that's why the sages, they go through the world to see everything as Brahman. So they see everything, but they don't react to anything. And so they get no problems.
So that's not Prajumna for them or what?
Prajumna is just for the Lord. The Lord is, you know, all this. So it will be appreciation for the Lord. How he's entered in, how he makes it, how it's wonderful. So they can even see these things.
When we say that,
you know, does that make sense? Yeah. You know, Sukadeva Goswami, it's not that he doesn't see the girls are beautiful, but it's just they're beautiful, the Lord. So trees, everything else, not that they're more than the others, because he doesn't have a need.
So Kshatriya view has some, we say they are guarding Vaikuntha? Is it?
I don't know. Tridents are guarding.
Oh, okay.
They're around, yes, but exactly how much, that we'll get into. That was Brahma Samhita.
Yeah.
That talked about how Goloka is and everything.
So when we want to go to Vaikuntha, we have to put our consciousness in line with the Chaturvyuha. I mean, connecting back to
basically, if
Lord.
You put it in line with Krishna, then Chaturvyuha is included.
Yes.
Because all those the Chaturvyuha are representing the moods of Dhirodatta, Dhiralalita, Dhiraprashanta, and Dhirodatta, like that. Mm-hmm. So those aspects are there. So if you see Krishna, they're all there in his pastimes. Like that. Point is if you're absorbed in the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then you don't have to worry about which aspect you are. But if you're conscious, then yes, we bring these things in line. So our knowledge, our identity, right, our desires, our inspiration, our goals, and our endeavors, if that's all in connection with Krishna, then it all works out perfectly. Yes, it's never a problem. So that's why the universal form is given, so we can see the Krishna on any level, because some levels will advance more quickly in. Other levels are slower, so we have ways to deal with that. Right? So the aspects that are slow, those are the ones that we need to use these techniques of the universal form. And the ones that are quick, then it's already taken care of. Right? The universe of forms already included in Krishna. So like that, it does. So it's not that, oh, is it this, is it that? It's not. It's this and that. It's all of that. Krishna is everything. So whichever part works in which situation, that's what we use. You know what I'm saying? You're in the city. What mode of travel do you take?
Bus.
Okay. And then when you get to the office, you take the bus up the stairs. Because it won't fit in the elevator.
No, you're probably right. Yeah.
You understand?
Get out of the bus.
Yes, so you get out and then you walk. You understand? So that's the whole thing, is you take whatever is useful. You know, then when you're in the elevator, you're not walking, but you're still moving. So it's just whatever works. So all these things are given. The bus is given, the train is given, the bicycle is given, the car is given, right? The taxi is given, you can walk, you know, like this. So all these are given, and then whichever one is useful in your situation for that moment, that's what you use. But if we say, oh, it's only this or it's only that, because somebody gets something that works for them in one area, then they make this whole philosophy how everyone's got to do this, this is the real thing and all. And it sounds very nice because they're enthusiastic, it's attractive, but then you see it doesn't change, and then it only worked for a particular mentality and only up to a particular level. Does that make sense? So unless you're advancing, then it's not going to work. That's why one has to always be advancing, because then you can benefit others. Right? Does that make sense? Srila Prabhupada comments, the Krishna consciousness movement is pushing forward the publication of Srimad Bhagavatam, as explained especially for the understanding of the modern civilized man. Right? So he's written it for them, not, oh, we have to adjust it for them. He's the one that wrote it for them. And if we can't see that, there's something wrong with us. And that's not, it's just there's something wrong with us.
So exactly how Prabhupada is presenting the monochrome.
The point is if he wanted it re-edited, he would have done it. That's the point. You can say, no, but if he knew this, the point is that doesn't work. He knows the movement, he knows the 10,000 years, he writes for that. People today are still following Ramanuja's philosophy, and it works for them today. Madhvas are the same. Right, Shankara is the same. So what does that mean? Shankara, that's how many? 1,300 years. And I think Ramanuja is like 1,100 or 1,200. Madhva is like 700, 800. And it's still working. So then why after, you know, 50 years this still won't work? It is offensive. It's downright offensive. But, and we're not being dogmatic here, because we can discuss it all day. What they don't want to discuss is how they're wrong.
Yeah.
How it's mundane. Why don't they? Prabhupada said, purports to my purports. Qualify yourself. Write purports. Don't change his because you're unqualified. Like that. So that's the thing. Disciples don't do that. It's a mundane mentality only that'll bring that up. Say what they like, how nice intent it is, how great they think it is, it's wrong. Prabhupada wouldn't change a syllable of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's. Means we could look at, I remember the first time I sat down seriously with Brahma Samhita, in one purport I had to look up 5 words. Right? And then you think, oh great, and you go on to the next, but then you can't even remember, you got to write them down. I had to start writing down what they meant, then you can start reading. So we can say, oh, we have to like this. But no, it's still valid today. And if they're talking about, oh, the intellectual, read Brahma Samhita and then let's see how intellectual your so-called intellectual is. He won't even know half the words he's talking about. And if he does know the words, great, he's smart. Yeah, okay.
The chapter summaries that we get at the start of the chapter, the
oh, he's taken them out of his Bhagavatam. Oh, that's fine. Because he read his Bhagavatam and then he said, this is for me. You don't read it. He says, and these are for you. And we can say what we want. There's hundreds of thousands of devotees reading these books. You know, at the time of Lord Chaitanya, there were the Pashandis, they fall through the cracks. Right? Even you flood the world with love of God, they float. Right? So the trick is how to find and get them to. And it's not by changing the books. Weakness is not how you impress people who are proud. Right? You have a dog that's really proud, you show weakness, he'll chase you. So that's not how it's done. People may think, but they don't. They're listening too much to the modern way of thinking. They're listening too much to people who sit in rooms who think, who actually can't do anything in reality. So we have to have that faith that what Prabhupada's talking about, this is the way it is. Now, you cleverly, how you explain it, you know, this is what he means. People still go to plays by Shakespeare. They pay money. Like that. And that English, you really can't understand. Still people go.
That's not even the point.
Yeah, you know, like that.
But it's fun, like, when they hear something they don't understand and you explain it so it makes sense, that impresses
people. That impresses people because they can't understand it. They're smart. Then you can explain it.
And then it's special.
Then it's special, but they want to have it. No, they read it. I don't have to do any work. I just sit back and do email. Right? And so therefore, and then the preaching magically goes on because then there's no trouble for me because I don't want trouble because I bureaucratize things and centralize things. Therefore, it makes more trouble and therefore I'm going crazy and I don't want more crazy. So therefore, just do what Prabhupada says. Individuals preach, make it happen. See to the standard of pure devotion. That's the whole point. Changing the books, that's not for disciples. Not in any way, shape, or form. People may not like it, it doesn't sound good, it's not politically correct, but on this point, when it comes to the spiritual master, we don't care about political correctness. Like that. The absolute truth is the absolute truth. We have to accept it. So if we can, then analyze it, study it, understand it. Right? Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, that's a disciple. He's told, there's how you say, 23 and a half syllables. This is a Gayatri mantra. But so Gayatri is at 24. Kama Gayatri is 23 and a half. He's not a small timer when it comes to literature. Right? Chaitanya Charitamrita, he's writing Bengali, writing in Sanskrit. He's giving the essence of what's in the Bhagavatam and all the literatures. You know, he's empowered by Lord Nityananda Prabhu to do this. And he has faith that it's correct, but he can't understand how. Right? So he'll change himself, but he won't change the thing. Because of that sincerity, then Radharani reveals which literature then explains the particular grammar that makes what would seem to be 24 into 23 and a half. You know, just like you have two consonants together and before that is a short vowel, then you get an extra half a mantra, half a beat. So you'll say that first, you'll say more on that first letter. You understand? So there's all kinds of far out things like that in Sanskrit. So this one he didn't know. But instead of trying to change that or say it was wrong or this or that, because it didn't match his intelligence. That's the problem. We think we're too intelligent. And that was already explained in the hells, it's just you think you're too great. But at the same time, that greatness you're going against, you're not improving yourself according to the Vedic standard. So that's not accepted in the Vedic culture. So, yeah. So here, he's set like that. So Prabhupada says, this is especially, as explained, especially for understanding the modern civilized man. Yeah, the point is who, how, it means, what Prabhupada can do, is there anybody can do what he can do? And he managed it. It means it was actual management, organization, vision. He comes up with projects, huge amounts of money, starts them, the money comes, he arranges it. So he's better than anybody we have. Right? He worked out there, he ran a business for, 40, 50 years? You know, like that. And that's in Calcutta. Name me one devotee in the movement, except for those that are from Calcutta, from India, that could run a business in Calcutta. Like that. That's why he goes from the streets of Calcutta to the streets of New York, and he's fine.
Yeah, I think
The bums don't give him trouble. The hippies don't give him trouble. You know, the new age don't give him trouble. The gentlemen don't get, no one gives him trouble. Because if you can function in Calcutta on the streets of Calcutta and move around, not, you can move in any city of the world, no problem. Whether you want to move in any other city of the world, that's your choice. But point is, you can do it. So this idea is, oh, Prabhupada isn't always from the spiritual world. You know, we're from here. We're the experts at being, you know, totally mundane. You know, so that's not going to fly. So he said, especially explained for the understanding of the modern civilized man. So therefore, if you can't understand it, then we have to remove just one word here, and that's the word civilized. So explained especially for the understanding of the modern civilized man. If you're not a modern civilized man, then being lacking civilization, you can't understand it. Okay. That's another. Yes, you can do that also. The modern civilized subhuman. Right, okay. To awaken him to his original consciousness. Without this consciousness, one melts into complete darkness. Right? Melts. You just melt and just disappear. You know, not that you fall into this and that. That's what you do from the Vedic. You fall into it. From the Western, you just melt into it. You know, you're just already so close to ignorance that you just kind of blend right in. Like that. Prabhupada is so expert, the word they exactly mean what he says. We just take it because he's using simple words, and we only have to use fancy words that no one else understands. Then you can say, now it's getting intellectual. But Prabhupada's intellectual, he's using simple words and being way more intellectual. Like that. Whether one goes to the upper planetary systems or the hellish planetary systems, he simply wastes his time. Therefore, so that means getting ahead materially here or not, you know, giving everything up or getting ahead materially, it's still a waste of time, unless it's Krishna conscious. So if going to the heavenly planets is a waste of time, then why is it getting money here is not a waste of time? Right? So, connected to Krishna, it's all perfect. Not connected to Krishna, not perfect. Therefore, one should hear of the universal position of the Virat form of the Lord as described in Srimad Bhagavatam. Then you know how to connect your money, you know, the wife, the children, your house, your toilet paper, everything to Krishna. Right? Yeah, but unless you know how it connects the universal form, you got problems. Yes. Everybody should? Yes. No, it's just a matter of now contemplate what did they say, and then what's the proper understanding. And then by contemplation, then one will slowly be able to deal with that. Yes, so then at that point stop, and then get back to doing other things, and then contemplate until one can. Or, if you find that a particular area, particular kind of people or that cause that problem, find an area or people that it doesn't. And then anyway, by doing that, you'll gain maturity in that, that eventually, if these other people you like, then you can preach them. You know, so you just find where works for you. It doesn't matter. Point is jivas are in all these different varieties of life, so he preached to them. Does that make sense? So you find what group works for you. Right? Yeah?
You have to write essays is a good exercise for preparation.
Yes.
The description is so to us is to explain what
is. Yes, yes, yes. Yes, and also you have to be exact in what you're saying. Because
yes.
That's why we say 200 words. It means it says 200 to 400. The ideal is 200, but we'll give you 400. Just in case it's not that it's 400, we'll accept 200. We'd rather it be 200. But that means you have to say everything. You write 200 and don't say anything, then better you write 400 and say something. Right? The idea is to say something. Yes, but the point is it's less to read, but the point is it's more exact. It's more exact. It means that you had to think about it to be able to get it to that. So in other words, you sit down, write your essay. Don't worry about the words. then having written it, you feel everything's in there, then go back and then look at it and see how you can reorganize it to make it, unless you wrote 200. I remember once Kontea Prabhu, because there was like that 200 word essays for the original Bhakti Shastra things back in the, I think it was back in the 90s. You know, the Vrindavan thing like
yes.
that. It means you could study anywhere, but you had to come there and take the test.
Yes.
So then, because he knew that they were just on memorizing certain things and writing 200-word essays, and they're going to give you 6 hours. Because their whole thing is, it's basically an exact quote, but it might have some paraphrasing. The person who created it. Since the test is so easy, we're going to make it harder by giving you shorter time. That's a modern concept, but, you know, whatever. You know, turns them on, then hey. You know, so then, Kontiya, knowing this, he just drilled. The boys would be there and like that. Okay, now, 200-word essay on this. He'll just talk anything. And so then for, I think it's a year and a half or whatever it is, that's all they did. You know, plus they went through all the works and everything like that. So then when they went to Vrindavan and took the test, one of our boys got the highest scores. I don't think it's been beaten yet. And still people say, well, you know, that's how you grade. You know, we grade more tougher and all this and that. As if tough is like so intellectual. You know, tough is like the real thing you expect from a Brahmin. They just can't digest that this kid, because when he did the test, he was probably, he would have been in his maybe mid-teens or something. Might even have been 15, 16, like that. And he got the highest score. Next highest score is Bhakti Vikash Maharaj, who didn't even study, went in, sat down, and did it. Because that all he does is read all day. You know, so that freaks him out. It's on the books, but you know what to do. So that's the whole thing, is you can gear for the test, but the point is you have to know the philosophy.
Yes.
So what they would do in 3 months, we did in a year and a half. You know, and then they did well. Yeah, so that's the thing, is because then you learn to think. Is I gotta in 200 words say exactly what I want to say, so it takes some discipline to do that. So that's the idea, but not too much because it's only 200 words. So it's not like you have to, you know, yeah, it's not like a whole bunch of, you know, that's the whole idea.
Eloquence.
Yes. So that's what we're trying to get, because when you're preaching, you have to be able to say it exactly. You know, if you waffle and go like this, then you lose attention. So that's the whole point of it, because then you'll be able to think concisely and you'll be able to preach concisely. So that's the reason we've taken this approach.
It's funny, if you study theater for a few years, you start to notice that it's not like widespread ability in our movement to actually think and speak concisely.
No, it's not. And then the fault with our system is you haven't memorized 30 verses.
Apparently.
Yes.
We know them from before.
Yeah, yeah. Back when we could remember that.
At least the first line.
Sarva. Yeah, I know. Sarva, yeah.
Very important.
It means, you know, give up everything, you know, and that, and kind of do something for Krishna, right?
It's pretty much
yeah.
what it says.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Okay. Therefore, one should hear of the universal position of Virat form from the Lord as described in Srimad Bhagavatam. So Prabhupada saying that, Sukadeva Goswami saying that, right? So that's the whole point. It is a useful thing. So devotees, generally something like understanding Virat Rupa, it's not something that is taken as something important. But we see here it's come up again and again and again and again. Because everything you do, you're using the senses, they're all part of the Virat Rupa. So unless you see where they connect, how do you engage them? Now if it's obvious that some direct aspect of devotional service, right, chanting, hearing, reading Bhagavatam, serving the deities, you know, living in the Dham, serving Tulsi, taking prasad, okay, then it's more obvious. But when you're doing anything else, how do you know? So that's how then this brings it in, yes.
Can we say that there are people especially is for connecting the secondary?
Yes, it's specifically for connecting the secondary. But then by connecting the secondary, then you bring it to the primary, then you focus on the primary. So it's not about how to stay. So those who get into Virat Roop and then stay on the secondary, that's also, then that's scholastic. That's why it becomes dry. So the point is you get to the primary through the second, because we're not thinking of the primary, we're thinking of secondary. But if we take the secondary, see it in relation to the Lord, then we connect to the primary, which is the Lord. Then we work on that level. You know, does that make sense? Like I'm doing something, let's say, because then, okay, I keep the house away because it's clean, because the Lord is clean. That's his, mentality. So he's clean, and then therefore he's the supreme pure, and then you get back to him, and then it's about him, then it's pleasing him. So then you look at it, start looking at it from that side. Rather than it's just clean, but then you also look at other aspects. Is that, so that's the idea of it. Is to just give a method to take the secondary that we're already absorbed in and connect it to the primary. That will help one save himself from material conditional life and gradually elevate him to the path of liberation. So you can go back home, back to Godhead. Right? So we're doing devotional service. But within devotional service, then there may be a mix. What's the mix going to be? Generally karma. So by seeing and connection there, that will purify us, bring us the platform, the mix is gyan. And then from there, because it's nice karma, then very easily over to bhakti, pure bhakti. Right? Because it's generally, as a general rule, that the neophyte tends to do karma yoga. The madhyama, jnana yoga. Right? But then the ultimate will just be bhakti yoga. But the neophyte and the madhyama are doing bhakti yoga, but the mix, it will be with those things. Right? Because when you do karma, you get knowledge and detachment. And functioning in the passion of knowledge and detachment, that's jnana yoga. So it's just automatically it will come if we stick to the process. So that's why if we connect everything we're doing in karma to Krishna, we will come to the platform of jnana yoga. Right? But if we see that the knowledge and that connected to Krishna, the knowledge is about Krishna, to please Krishna, the detachment is also to please Krishna, then we'll get to bhakti. Right? So here in this case, we're calling bhakti, the Brahma-Bhuta platform, bhava. Right? And then that will mature into prema. But otherwise, everything that anybody's doing from the beginning of Shraddha, all devotees, that's all bhakti. But it's just a matter of it's Shraddha to prema. We're trying to move it on, keep it moving in the process. Does that make sense? Yeah? Okay, so then go back home, back to Godhead. So how do you go back to Godhead? A relationship with the Supreme as a person. So we're starting on this Brahman level, moving up to the Paramatma level. That's why we talk about the universal form. We talk about Dharma, about the Varnashram. That's the Paramatma platform. What I'm supposed to do, how to please the Lord. How the mechanics of the whole world works and connected to the Lord. That's the Virat Roop. Alright? Then Paramatma, my duties. Now if we reject duties and don't deal with the universal form, then it's quite a jump. And we know how you say, what's the political correct version? Small people? Yeah. Small people trying to catch the moon? Huh? I think that's an older one now. I think it's small people is the, so how you say it? But whatever. In other words, someone who's not very, you would say it's sentimentally challenged? Oh, it means the centimeters aren't enough. Sentimentally challenged. Like that. So it's hard to catch the moon. So here's the process. You deal with the Virat Roop, you deal with the Dharma, then you're able to get to the platform of pure devotion. And if we're just going to be pure devotion or ignorance, then it's a bit of a stretch. It's not comfortable. Sukadeva Goswami continued, one who is interested in liberation, who accepts the path of liberation, and is not attracted to the path of conditional life, is called yati, or a devotee. Right? Yati is also another name for sannyasi. right? Because if you're not accepting the path of conditional life, so I'm doing activities in this world, but without attachment to the results, that's sannyas. Therefore, that's yati. So that's why the devotees are known as yati. Right? So that's the natural position. We say, oh, I'm being natural. No, yati is natural. Conditioned life, that's natural for the animals. Human, it's not natural. To not follow the rules is not natural for a human. It's natural for the animals. Right? Because there's an animal that exactly doesn't follow the rules the way you want to not follow the rules. Because when we say, I don't follow the rules, we'll exactly not follow the rules in a very specific way. And others who agree with that and like that are like-minded, and that's standard. And someone who's outside of that, either more strict than that or less than that, that's a problem. You understand? So, it's always going to be like that. Such a person should first control his mind by thinking of the Virat Rup, the gigantic universal form of the Lord, and then gradually think of the spiritual form of Krishna. Right? So that's how you go. So the gopis, they see a tree, it's black, they think of Krishna. It's the same process, but it's happening in a moment. While us, we may have to engage the intelligence, that's what buddhi yoga, to get it there. So sometimes it may be quicker, sometimes slower. You know, like sometimes we ask, why are you doing this? And then sometimes very quickly, for Krishna. But other times you get, you know, 10, 15, 20 answers before, oh, you want that one, okay. Yeah. But that point is you have to ask yourself those questions. So in other words, there's something you do that you is important, you think this, why? And then analyze why. And the problem is not that one's doing it, it's just knowing why you're doing it. Because it may be it's perfectly fine in Krishna, it may be not. You know.
It's another perspective.
So yes. To ask. Yeah. That was the idea. Bhaktivinoda Thakur said we should contemplate so we understand where we're advancing, how we're seeing, things like that. So he recommended it's not that that's the thing, but just let's say, for example, on Ekadasi. Because generally Ekadasi, we take it as a more devotional day. You know, we make some adjustments. You know, we make the pizza out of the Radha Madhava flour instead of, you know, out of the regular stuff. You know, major adjustments. Sorry? Yeah, no semolina, so it doesn't quite have the same crunch that it should have, you know, like that. But whatever, it's okay.
Carrot halva,
yeah.
Like that. That's actually pretty good.
It is.
If you know how to do it.
Yeah. If you know how to do it, it's really excellent. If you don't know how to do it,
not so good.
Then carrot salad's better.
Not very different.
Yeah, then there's not a lot of difference. Just one's a little wilted and the other one looks more fresh. Yeah. Most don't put enough ghee and they don't put milk. You know, and then they worry that the milk curdles. It's supposed to.
Yeah,
it gives all the little globules of milk, and it's got that clearness because you cook it, and it's got enough ghee, and you use plenty of sugar, so it's good. Yes. Yes, so we start the universal form, and we ended up with prasad, which is directly Krishna. That's what we're talking about, see?
That's how we do it.
Yeah, that's the point. Thus, one's mind is fixed in samadhi, right? So you're always thinking of Krishna. Maybe it's personally, or maybe it's another aspect, but you're always thinking of Krishna in the three features, like that. So the idea is to get it where we're always thinking in Bhagavan, but until we do, then the other two are quite useful. Because the point, if we're not thinking of Bhagavan, what are we thinking of?
Ourselves.
We're thinking of ourselves. And so therefore, where are we situated? In the material world. And then, and we're engaging our senses and interacting with the material world. But what are those senses? What are the elements? The senses, the sense objects, the ability to see, to smell, that's all the universal form. So that's why that's the advantage, is that at any point we can catch ourselves and connect it back to Krishna. It doesn't matter where we are. Because we're used to being Krishna conscious in the temple, being Krishna conscious in our home when we're like cooking for the deities, or sitting and chanting our japa, or reading a book, or, you know, maybe looking at a picture, worshipping the deities, that. But then anything else between the temple and the home, anything else in the home, our occupation, then these are a problem. But everything is connected to the universal form, so at any point we can connect. Yes.
The way I spoke with Gaur at this time was that sankarsha is that attraction that we have towards engaging with
him. Yes. Because he's what pulls together. He's what pulls.
So we feel the attraction to something.
Yeah. Yes. That's Krishna. But also that on the opposite side is that he is that illusion. He is that ignorance, that false ego. So the same thing is that you're dealing with the material, it goes one way or the other. You're going to be attracted, but is it attracted and you see it connected to Krishna, or is it attracted and then it's your false ego and then illusion? So it either takes you out or it takes you in. So the attraction is not the problem. That's the beauty of the universal form. It's not the attraction, it's not the attachment, it's not the desire, it's not the need, it's none of those. It's which, do you see it connected to the Lord or not? Right? Yes.
So, sankarsan is the attraction, Vrindavan is also the attraction?
You could say it's the inspiration. It'll come from there, because where does Prajumna come from? Sankarsan, yes. But then, at that point, then we'll say it's him, but it's come from sankarsan. You know, that's the whole point. And then that contemplate turns into need, that's anirudha. So thinking is sankarsan, feeling. In other words, you think about it and that's there, that looks interesting, that's sankarsan. But when it's like, yeah, no, like that, that's prajumna. When I need that, then it's anirudha. So they're all, that's one line. So they're all connected. But the potency is all coming from sankarsan. Right? Because Baladev is who expands into everything else in the cosmos. Yes. Okay. Yeah. So you contemplate, you identify with it, then it moves. So that's thinking, feeling, and willing. Then you're going to do. Right? So unless you've completed thinking, feeling, and willing, you don't do anything. That's why then the Gita starts off with understanding all this sankarsan, prajumna, and adiruddha, because if that's not there, where's the vasudeva? Where's the performance of the devotional activity? So Abhideya starts when you've thought, you've felt, and you've willed. That's why we hear, that's why we contemplate. Because then we'll need, and when we need, then we'll act. Right? And so that means the thinking, the feeling, and the willing is all together going on when we're performing the activity. That's why in Vasudeva the other three are already present. So, yeah, they're all the same. They're all there. Then you're going to do, because then what's the fourth stage? You'll actually then teach others, show others how to be like how you are, like that. So you see that this principle is there in everything, just it takes different forms and is therefore given different names, but the principle is the same. You know, like food, it's the same thing, it nourishes the body, but depending on the form we give it different names, depending on how we, you know, the technique of cooking it, and that we give it different names. So, but it's the same thing. It's still nourishment, right? Does that make sense? At least in the traditional sense. The modern, that may be another thing. Yes. Ideally, yes. Yes.
Okay.
By devotional service, one can then realize the spiritual form of the Lord, which is the destination of devotees. Because serving the form of the Lord, that's actually the destination of devotees. These other two are just to bring us to that point where we come to that.
Yeah.
Thus his life becomes successful. Srila Prabhupada comments. It is said, Mahat Sevam Dvaram Ahur Vimuktehe. Srimad Bhagavatam 5.5.2. If one wants to progress on the path of liberation, he should associate with Mahatmas, or liberated devotees. Because in such association, there is a full chance for hearing, describing, and chanting about the name, form, qualities, and paraphernalia of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, all of which are described in Srimad Bhagavatam. Does that make sense? So that's the whole point. So you have to know that this is what we're supposed to do. Like that. Otherwise, you're just going along and, you know, whatever we're doing. Then in the 90s, it got into this, right? And then from the background of that not necessarily being situated as much in within our own teachings as depending on others, then that was dealt with, but dealt with in such a way that the hearing and chanting about the name, form, quality, and pastimes of the Lord disappeared. And then what are we left with? Right, because that's what we're supposed to be doing, and then we organize that as a society. So if you remove what we're supposed to be doing, then you just leave the management. You know, and so therefore there's that switch. But that's actually what it's for. That's what the problem is. If there's something wrong, remove what's wrong. Don't remove the whole thing. Right? You know, don't do what do you call it? Hitler on the bunker in France. There was a bunker in France, or I think it was a bunker, that somehow or another he lost a battle and they made him sign a treaty there. You know, and then he went, but then that wasn't the end of it. So then he got back, got his troops up, and then like that. Then again came attack France, this time defeated them. Then having defeated them, he went there and blew that bunker up. Like that. So we don't do that. Well, you could say he removed the problem. But, yeah. So in other words, you just deal with just what is actually wrong and what's right keep. Because otherwise, on the political platform, you'll get rid of what's right to get what you want. You know what I'm saying? Whether it's valid, does it make sense? I've seen in a meeting a, what would you call it? You know, they're going through a process there.
Brainstorming.
Sorry?
Brainstorming?
No, not brainstorming. This is agenda. That someone wants, there's one person who's doing something they don't like. Right? So, because they don't want to say, this person is doing this is wrong. How do we deal with that? Right? They'll say, this thing, it could be wrong. It could happen in any temple. So therefore, we make a rule that this can't happen in any temple. But then, in other temples, they're using it to advantage. So then by this ruling, actually, then it's bad for them. It's only good for that one situation. You understand? So therefore, when we throw everything out to get one thing done, that's political. Right? The actual educational means this part's wrong, everything else is good. Right? Because otherwise, if we use that, you know, if things weren't ideal, then we would end up with nothing to eat. Right? We have a basket of potatoes, and if it was, and one flaw, we'd throw them all out. But no, we'll go through and we'll get most of the potatoes. Right? In volume. Not necessarily, you know, complete potatoes. You understand? So that's the advantage. Then the universal form can be used to find those things that here's where I'm getting distracted, connect that to Krishna. So I don't even have to technically throw it out. What I'm throwing out is attachment to it not connected to Krishna. That gets thrown out. But my attachment to it doesn't have to go. I just simply have to connect it to Krishna. Does that make sense?
For that, we need
discrimination. No, he's going along really nice, and then he goes straight through the garden. Sorry?
We need to have some discrimination.
Yes, we have to have discrimination. That's the symptom of intelligence. That's the symptom of intelligence. Like that. We're saying, oh, we don't want to just follow the Vedic culture, we're not that. And then without intelligence, we just follow the modern things. But, what's the point? Yes.
Yeah, the most vivid example of that is how Srila Prabhupada dealt with his young disciples. And among them, you know, the example of Kirtanananda, was the most, because he deviated in every possible way, and mm-hmm. that was like very early.
Mm-hmm.
And Srila Prabhupada, he tried to correct him, installed him back. Then another deviation comes, then correcting
yes,
him,
yes.
then installed him back. It's like this.
Yeah, yeah.
And for so many times, he never, like, he never kicked him out.
No, no.
He left himself.
Yeah, no, no. It's also many like that. That's, yes, but I'm saying that's the most extreme. Yes.
Yeah, he was like.
Yeah, means others are in small ways, yeah. But in, you know, he was definitely more exceptional than the others. No, because the point is it's about saving the souls. It's not about right and wrong. That's the thing, we get too distracted by right and wrong, but it's actually about saving souls. So, why do we speak so strongly on these things and on Varnashram and that? Because it's the thing that can make things work so easily. But if devotees weren't worried about social things and economics and occupations and all this, we don't have to talk about it much. Prabhupada didn't talk about it that much in the 60s. But when he saw that devotees needed these things and were worried about it, then he introduced it. Like that. So the whole point is that that's the way it is. If you can function on the Bhagavat, then we just do Bhagavat. If you need the regulation, then you introduce Pancharatra. And if you need even more, then you introduce the Vedic. All it is just how to regulate so that you connect to the Lord. That's the whole point. So the more we want to be involved with the material world, the more we need the Vedic. The less we are inclined, the less we need it. Right? Because the important parts of the Veda that if you're not really much involved, that's already in Pancharatra. It doesn't deal with occupation. It means the occupation is the deity worship. So it only deals with, in other words, the brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha, sannyas, and brahman occupations, that's all taken care of by Pancharatra. Like that. But if you need the kshatriya, vaishya, shudra aspects, then you have to use Varnashram. Yes. But the thing is you're using an older application, but with a modern scenario. Because in those days, people didn't get distracted. People fell down, it didn't bother you. How many sannyasis took sannyas every Gaura Purnima? That many fell down. When Prabhupada was here, there was never more, maximum there was 21 sannyasis, minimum there was 19. There was never more than that. You knew all their names, you knew where they preached, you knew everything. Nowadays, you wouldn't have a clue. We have so many. But we're now, even though less people fall down, less this and that, then we're most sensitive to it because of what we said this morning. The emotional need, it's about us and being the victim. The point is Prabhupada knew what he was doing. And we can't say, well, we're not Prabhupada, because if we say we're not Prabhupada, then we can't change anything he does. We would be trying to do it. But when we don't do what he does, saying we're not Prabhupada, and then do our own thing, that's cheating. That's just wholesale cheating. Is it about, if no one's trying to save this one soul, who's going to care about you? Who's going to make any endeavor to save you? The first time you do anything wrong, you're out. If we follow the modern piety, oh, the leader's wrong, throw him out, because he'll affect everybody. Anybody does something wrong, throw them all out. And so then who's he going to have left at the end? Only the ones that are cheaters who then say, I'm doing nothing wrong. Right? The simple guys will get caught, the sincere guys will admit it, and the cheaters, then they'll be doing fine. You know what I'm saying? So it sounds fabulous what you're about to say, but it has nothing to do with inspiring anybody in Krishna consciousness, because if people can't deal with the problem that they've done, they can't deal with their own problems. If you can't forgive yourself, you cannot forgive anybody. So the people who have problem with leadership are the ones who hate themselves the most. That's the bottom line. You know what I'm saying? In reality, in real life, somebody in a leadership position goes, if you're committed, you're committed to the cause, you carry on. You know, you have a battalion out there, they're fighting, and their officers get killed. What do? They continue fighting. That's what real people do. This other thing are for people that sit in rooms and have no contact with reality. They think that whatever they think and feel is real. But it's not. So the point is it does it, but did Prabhupada let him do nonsense? No. So we either let them do nonsense and everybody does, or we just take them and completely nuke them. Why can't we do it Prabhupada? Don't let them do nonsense, correct, and then put them into situations that'll work. But we won't do that. Because why? That means you have to be a person, you have to deal with people, you have to make an endeavor, and we don't want to do that because, as we said this morning, there's too much on our plate because we created this insane bureaucracy that, you know, everything's just going wrong everywhere because no one's working on pure devotional service, and so therefore I'm already overloaded. You know, I got 100 pages on email. God only knows how much stuff has gone on my wall on Facebook that I got to delete, you know. And so I don't have time for all this stuff. Therefore, one shoe fits all. And that's for Shudras. Leaders, they deal with it. I'm always amazed when I see real leaders, how they deal. Something goes wrong, they won't stop until it's taken care of. I'd let it slide or this, wait for the right moment and all that. No, they just walk right in and just deal with it.
Do it very fast.
Fastest I've ever seen is Bhavananda. 30 seconds. Like that. That's all it takes. You know how it's like, this one says this, that one says that, and it's a whole thing that can go on for weeks? You know? He goes, you know, this one says this, and then talk to them, you know, what about that? No, that. And it says, you know, what about this? It's done. Because he just gets the two people, and they have to say it in front of him. But people don't want to say it in front of them. Why not? Because they don't want the truth. It's all about feeling and about, they want to get their result. They don't want a solution. You know, he doesn't like me. Well, you know, what do you mean he doesn't like? He said I'm an idiot. Why did you call him an idiot? He doesn't just go, did you call him an idiot? Why did you call him an idiot? He says, well, I didn't mean it like that. Or like this and that. Because he did this. Well, why did you do that? You know, like that. And just move, move, move. And it's gone. 30 seconds to 5 minute maximum if it's really, you know, it's one of those that goes back a few lifetimes. You know, you get that with the Guru Kumaris, you know, like that. You know, why did you poke him? Because yesterday he wrote on my paper. Why did you write on his paper? Because 3 weeks ago when I was taking lunch, I asked for more sweet rice and he didn't give me. Why didn't you give him? Yeah, because last year, you know, he took my spot when we were sleeping and I told him that was my spot and he didn't care. And then, but why did you do that? Because last lifetime, that, you know, it just goes on and on. It's amazing. So. Yeah, no, it's amazing, you know. He beat me. Why did you beat him? Beat him? Who's he? I've never seen him in my life. You like that? No, in the temple. I didn't go to the temple today. Yeah. That stuff's harder. And then you have 120 of those? Yeah. Yes.
Another problem is trying to be solved. Cases usually comes up argument and you have to be nice, you cannot talk so badly about your situation or apart.
Yes.
If you like get into actually solving the problem against solving the problem.
Yes, but then just say what's the point. Don't get into your opinion and your feelings. That's the thing, is that you have to control it. So in other words, stick to the point. Because otherwise, he's this, he's that. No, but the point is what happened? So that's the thing, you have to be able to, and people don't want to be regulated, don't want to be controlled. So that's the thing, if you're dealing with an animalistic mentality, how do you deal with it? You know? You know, when you have a rabid dog, speaking nicely doesn't work. So therefore you can't get anything done. So that's the whole thing, is there is standards, there is things, but people don't like authority, they don't like cleanliness, they don't like proper behavior, except with them, right? And they don't like regulation. That's our disease. So therefore, the Vedic process is to overcome that. Yes? Yes, but it's always about themselves. Oh, the guru left, all that, you're disappointing so many people. It's like, you know, who's not disappointing people? It's just that that's something that's not there. You know, the wife leaves, the husband leaves, no one's disappointed, but no one thinks anything about it. You know what I'm saying? Just no one says, like, how much does that disturb? It's just like this, okay. Man and woman, they get together, they make a contract, they're going to live together and do all things like that, okay? But it's their agreement. Okay? Now they decide not, it's not agreement, then they had nothing to do with each other, fine. You know, it's not ideal, but okay, it happens. But what's the children's position? Can they say, this person's not my mother, that's not my father? Yes. So they're stuck. But is it ever about the kids? No, it's only about the adults. Because the adult identifies so much of the kid as an expansion of them, they think whatever I like, the kid will like. And do we ever notice that? That goes on and we don't mind? But gurus leave and everybody's affected. Kids are out smoking dope, having sex. Why? Because they don't have relationships with their parents. Why not? Because the parents, you know, don't. And then why is it we allow that? Why don't we make rules? You can't be a parent. You've blown it as a parent, we're taking your kids away from you. The government will do it. That's another thing. No one wants the kids anyway. Especially those ones, yes, of course. But, you know, but I'm just talking about the theory, right? So the whole point is we'll regulate anything that's not part of our growing up. Sannyasis, it's not part of our scene. Gurus, definitely not part of our scene. Authority, we really don't want it. Regulation, forget it. Vedic, forget it. Varnashram, forget it. Those who oppose with anything from our own, even though it's rotten to the core, oh, it's fine, we're just being practical. But if the Shastra says you have to have guru, and so then you have guru, and if you fall down, it's just part of the process. Do we say, okay, in ISKCON, you know, getting married, being parents is banned. Everybody has to be celibate. Right? Because the Grihastha Ashram, so many problems, and this and that. Are we doing that? No, but why do we say that about gurus and sannyasis? The point is you're engaging in Krishna service. You're giving it a shot. So just as a grihastha blows it, then they can get it together. Why can't these others? Oh, they disappoint people. Disappointing a child, I don't think that there's anything probably more sinful than that. Mm-hmm. Taking a kid who's innocent, has hopes, has ideals, and totally destroying those and shattering those. You can't tell me that's not one of the worst things in the world. Way worse than an adult who's already a skeptic, and then there's one more problem. You know what I'm saying? But what to do? Because of us being untrained and not knowing what are real values and what's real personal, therefore we don't know. So that's the problem, is we actually don't know what culture is. That's why it says the modern civilized man. It means modern man thinks he's civilized. But that's the problem. And if there was one idea of civilized, it would be easier to work with. Then we could discuss the philosophy and come and show how to make that Krishna conscious. But it's every individual to every individual, every family to every family, every community, it's totally different. You know, so that's the difficult universal society, or international society. We have to be able to deal on that universal platform. So there, and the only way is to understand the Vedantic philosophy, which means understanding the universal form, our duties, and the name, form, qualities, and pastimes of the Lord. That's the only way to solve it. You know, so that has to be the focus. That we can't throw out. And if we try to throw that out, what's left? You know what I'm saying? Okay? Yeah. Okay. Okay, if one wants to progress in the path, he should associate with Mahatmas. So associating with devotees is the most important thing. Therefore, if something happens with one Mahatma, you go to another Mahatma. But you have to associate Mahatma. No, oh, this far, so we're throwing this out. Oh, he's so disappointed. He's living in his house out in the middle of, you know, Northern California there, not talking to anybody because he's so disappointed. It's like, so disappointed. How many years ago was disappointed? You know, so it's like, he's so disappointed. His wife left him. How many more years before he finds another one? Yeah, that's even that. Nowadays, it's even quicker. Like, I had one guy, it's like, you know, it's like that. I didn't want to get divorced, but, you know, the wife's pushing for it and all that. But, you know, what to do and all that. But, you know, in our country, then they have a rule that you put in the papers, but they don't consider them for 6 months. So after 6 months, then they'll contact you, want us to process the papers. They won't do anything for 6 months. Right? Because they know that generally in 6 months they work it out anyway, just like that. So then he says, okay, then put in the papers. The day he puts in the papers, he's off with another girl and his wife's off with another guy. And they haven't even been processed. You know, it's like, so, yeah, magic. Magic, you know. Yeah. And I'm not talking kids here. You know, we're talking 30, 40, 50 year olds here.
Online. I'm not kidding.
Yeah, I don't know.
You just go online, click,
divorce. That's it.
That's it.
It means.
That's it.
Right, it's not even any problem. That's it. You're just divorced, and that's it.
Divorce rate went up 20% that day. That was it.
Yeah, and it's still holding
it's
at that point.
It's going pretty well.
Okay, so no, you would just give it a try. If it doesn't work, then you just go online, and that's it. And then, yeah, okay, cool.
Show up somewhere so that they can check that you actually
exist. You do realize that that's a cutout of Brad Pitt, right? No, but we want to get married. That's a cutout. Better than a doll, yes.
It's like the old beast.
In?
In Bible. Just one person
has to. Oh, in Czech?
No, further north.
Further north. Oh, okay. Just one person has it. The other person doesn't want it. So you don't even have to sign papers or anything. Okay. Yeah, like in America, you can drag the guys out by not signing and stuff like that.
They're outdated.
They're outdated. Yeah, yeah. But thinking they're so modern like that. You know, it's like, yeah, they're so, yeah. So 20th century, yeah. You know, it's like these guys.
This is a special app for the smartphone. One person.
I'm gonna push it. I dare you. Just push. What if you divorce somebody else's wife? You didn't divorce your own wife. You divorced somebody else's wife.
Yeah, maybe you just want to text someone.
Hey,
accidentally divorce
the wife. Hey, honey, I'm divorced from this other guy. Do you know anything about this?
I don't even know what went wrong. Okay, so yeah, we're laughing.
Yeah, no, exactly. That's wild. Just online. Then what about, you know, properties, this, that? How is that taken care of?
I haven't actually tried it, so.
Oh, okay. So you're not so experienced.
No,
okay. Be interesting to know how they deal with all that.
Yeah.
You know, because others, they get lawyers and they fight over a picture or,
yeah.
You know, who gets the points, from flying, you know, the airline points.
Or,
you know, yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. The miles, yeah. Who gets the miles? Who gets, you know, who gets the dog?
Probably they do it beforehand. They write down everything.
Okay.
Online.
Okay.
Whoever has what?
Okay, and then just push the button. Okay, then it's fine. Yeah, that sounds... yeah, you have to check.
Yeah,
you have to keep us up to date. You know, we wouldn't want to be stuck in the last millennium. You know,
give us half information.
Yeah.
I'll give you 200 words.
Yeah. To do you the search here. Okay. 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 Because in such association with full chance for hearing, describing, and chanting about the name, form, qualities, and paraphernalia of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, all of which are described in Srimad Bhagavatam, right? So the whole point is it's about people, discussing about people. Krishna is a person, his associates are people, their pastimes are personal. So therefore, in the process of being personal, there will be problems. This one's there, that one's there, this one falls down, this one falls up, whatever it is. It doesn't matter. Yeah, what would happen if the Bhakta Jose fell out? Can somebody get him off the ceiling, please? No, but he says he's fine.
6 months in the temple, stuck to the ceiling.
So it's going to happen. And if we can't handle the person, then what's the mean? Then why are we looking for a solution because of the impersonalist of our own culture? The solution is personal. The personal means is dealing with all these things. Sukadev Goswami concluded, "My dear King, I have now described for you this planet Earth, other planetary systems and their lands, varshas, rivers and mountains. I have also described the sky, the oceans, the lower planetary systems, the directions, the hellish planetary systems, and the stars. These constitute the Virat Rup, the gigantic material form of the Lord, on which all living entities repose. Thus I have explained the wonderful expanse of the external body of the Lord." Srila Jiva Goswami concludes, "As you listen to the description of the gross, you should listen to the description of the subtle also. You should set your mind on the gross form and gradually and slowly should move to the worship of the subtle form." Right? So all this, what's been described, is technically a description of the universal form. Like that. So where everybody is, why they're there, the mentalities, the positions they hold, that's all part of the universal form. Like Brahma is part of the universal form, the Prajapatis. They all, when it's described, they all have their positions. So, and how is that? By the mentality. Your mentality places you within the universal form. So all of this is within the Lord, but if you don't connect it to the Lord, you're bound by it. You connect it to the Lord, you're freed from it. Then you come to the point of understanding the Lord as a person. So this is the end of the fifth canto. Good job. Yes. Yes. So what's the creative impetus is, why is the creation there? It's because of the desires of the living entities, all the different moods they want and this and that. So the Lord's creative impetus is there to give an opportunity to the living entities to come back to Him. At the same time, it's to fulfill their desires. So Vedic system is how the living entity can fulfill their desires and come back to Krishna. So if they just try to fulfill their desires without coming back to Krishna, that's a waste of time. If they try to fulfill their desires by not following the directions of Krishna, then that was the last chapter we dealt with.
Yes.
Right? So everything other than this chapter, in other words, the five cantos except for this last chapter, that's all about those who follow the Vedic culture. And for those who don't, then this chapter is for them. So everybody's
Our emphasis becomes a little too creative.
Too creative, then yes. Then we have some inspiration to stay on track. Yes? Sorry? Yeah, well, look at this. That's so nice. Yeah. Hey, how can there's two chapters per page? Yes, eloquent. Yes. So, write an essay on the meaning of the word S and O. I mean, the letters S and O, and what their combination signifies.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Shri Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhakti Vrinda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Kaivalya.